I asked you to sing the third verse of O Come, Emmanuel, because on Wednesday night we talked about how the that image is O Come, O Lord of Might, as to that time on Sinai's height when ancient times once gave the law in cloud and majesty and awe. This is this huge, big thing. Moses is gathering all the people around Mount Sinai, and God promises to come down onto Mount Sinai. And there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's smoke. Moses is talking to God, and God's talking back in the thunder. The earth is quaking. There's all this big stuff, and Moses goes up the mountain to encounter God, and everybody's thinking, whoa, this is great. The power of God. Well, they're a little nervous too, but this is like the power of God is what they're expecting. And Moses comes down, and I know when Moses comes down, they're expecting something amazing, like some kind of Marvel comic book hero, you know, the mighty Thor or the Incredible Hulk. Somebody like Zephaniah says, you know, a warrior in our midst who's going to take care of all of our enemies. And that's what everybody's waiting for. And when Moses gets down, he says, well, God said, stop killing each other. Stop stealing from each other. God said, chase after only God and don't chase after other gods. They're just going to take you in the wrong direction. Oh, yeah, and don't steal from each other and don't honor your relationships. Don't make them adulterous. And don't want what other people want. Want only God. There. You can just imagine everybody going, that's it? Really? And the reason I bring that up is because it's the same thing with John in the wilderness, right? Everybody's going out to John in the wilderness. He starts out really great. He sounds like this great Southern Baptist preacher, right? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance and don't begin to say, I have Abraham as my ancestor. God can raise ancestors to Abraham from these stones. But bear fruit that befits repentance, and they all are like, whoa. And then they ask the question, which I think actually surprises John. What then should we do? What do you want us to do? And John's like, oh, really? Okay, okay, look, if you have two coats, give one to somebody else because they're going to need one. And food likewise. And soldiers and tax collectors are coming, and he gives them very specific things for their life. It's very interesting, isn't it? It's not even so dramatic as to say, stop being a tax collector. Stop being a soldier. He just gives them things they can do in their life. Simple things. But they aren't necessarily so simple. Because listen, John says, if you have two coats, give one to somebody else. But you know what? In order for them to honor the Sabbath, one of the things that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai, you're supposed to have two garments. One for every other day of the week and one for the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath day, what are you not supposed to do if you're the mother of the household? You're not supposed to cook. So you're supposed to prepare two meals the day before. So what happens if the day before the Sabbath you've prepared two meals and someone comes to you and says, I have no food? What do you do then? Do you give what you have to them and then fast on the Sabbath? Or prepare a meal on the Sabbath? Those don't sound like good options if you want to be observant Jew. I think what John might be saying is to be an observant Jew is to show compassion to your neighbor. Simple. And yet not always so simple. How well are we doing on those simple Ten Commandments? We're not doing very well. Over the centuries, we have not done very well with them, have we? So it isn't, it's plain, it's simple, it isn't easy. So Austin Shelley is a Presbyterian pastor, and she tells this great story, and it's just, I just love it. She said she was raised by her grandparents, and every week she would go with her grandmother shopping. Okay? She'd push the cart, grandma would pick up each item and put it in. They were working class people. Grandpa was in charge of the budget, and it was always nip and tuck, except for groceries. So grandma would go shopping, and everything that she picked up, she would pick up two. Peanut butter jars, two jars of peanut butter. Jelly, two jars of jelly. Looking at coupons that she had and all of that stuff, what's on sale, two boxes of cereal, two bags of flour, two of everything. Austin says that their cart looked a lot like a strange Noah's Ark. Two of every kind. Then they'd get through and they would bag it all up, and before going home, they would take half of what they brought to the food bank and drop it off there. Every single week. And this was a great thing. She thought this was wonderful until she got to be 9 or 10 years old and started watching TV. And she started seeing these commercials for this great cereal. And so as they were going down the cereal aisle one time, Austin asked her grandma, "Can we get this box of cereal?" And her grandmother says, "No, we can't afford that." And under her breath, she says, "We could if we only bought one." Grandma stops and gets right down to her height. And Austin says, "I've never seen Grandma think so hard before she spoke." She measured her words and then she said to me, "If we can't afford two, we can't afford one." Oh, I just love that. If we can't afford to buy two to give away one, we can't afford one to keep for ourselves. Oh. For some reason, that story just totally, oh, it just burns inside of me. I love this story. But I'm afraid I have to report that there are two fires burning in me in hearing that story. And the first one is, oh my gosh, do you mean I have to do that? You mean I have to buy twice as much groceries and give it to the food bank? Do you mean I have to do... Simple, but not easy. And that's the part of the fire that I think John is talking about when he says Jesus will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. The chaff is that stuff that we think is protecting us. Well, you know, chaff does protect the wheat, doesn't it? But after a while, it's no good anymore. And so this fire, the first fire that's burning in me is, I don't feel good that this is my chaff, my protection, the stuff, my sense of wanting things is being burned away. And it's not comfortable. I don't like it. And that story does that to me. It makes me think, what is it that I'm not doing that I ought to be doing? What is it that needs to be removed from me so that I can be living in those simple, simple commandments, those words? Anybody else feel that way about this kind of story? This is, yeah, thanks. Whew, thought I was the only one. So that's one fire that feels like it's burning. The other fire, though, is, oh, I want to be just like that. That's how I want to live. That's how I want to do it. If we can't afford two, we can't afford one. Now, I'm not saying that Austin, Shelley's mom and dad bought two houses and gave one away, right? We just bought a new car. I'm not going to buy two cars and give one away. We can't do that. All right, maybe we can. That's another thing that maybe is protecting me, this illusion. But anyway, I want to do that. I want to find out ways in which I can live into that more and more. And I think that's what John the Baptist has, the brilliance of John's teaching in this, is this. Go do what's in your life to do. Really? Do you have two coats and somebody doesn't have one? Give them one. I don't think he's even saying get rid of everything but one. But if there's somebody in need nearby, take care of their need. Food as well. Anything. Look around and see what your neighbor needs. And if you've got it and got extra, hand it over. And that, I think, is the fire that Jesus lights in us, that John's talking about. And when you think about this, when John says, the chaff he's going to burn with unquenchable fire, but the grain he's going to put into the granary, where do you think the grain's going to end up from the granary? It's going to get chopped up, beaten down, ground up, put into a loaf, and put into the fire. So no matter where you turn, there's going to be a fire. One is simply the fire of our own selfishness. The other turns us into this bread which feeds the world. And those are the two fires. So, one way or the other, we're all going to feel the heat. My sense of it is, I want to feel the heat of the stove baking bread. I want to be a part of that, that gets broken and distributed to our neighbors for the sake of the world. That's a beautiful image to me. And I think that's what we're called to. So start out small, like John. Nothing really big, no pyrotechnics, nothing. Just a sense of what do we have that we can offer to someone in need. Begin there. Begin there. And that will kindle a fire. And who knows where it will go.